are asking the NTSB to do a top-to-bottom review of this industry and see if the federal regulators are doing their job, and if not, to make recommendations as to how to improve it.
That was Senator Schumer calling on the federal regulatory body to take a closer look on how they regulate the bus industry. This, of course, follows the two deadly accidents involving so-called Chinatown buses, one yesterday on the New Jersey Turnpike and the big one in the Bronx, bringing passengers back to New York from the Mohegan Sun Casino over the weekend. Investigations are ongoing on both crashes. Joining me now to talk about whether these discount curbside buses are actually less safe than, say, Greyhound buses, and what kinds of regulations exist to make sure they're safe, is Michael Grinbaum, transportation for the reporter for the New York Times. Michael, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
First of all, what do we mean when we say Chinatown bus exactly?
We're talking about something called a curbside carrier. And what that means is the bus company's not paying for the usual space in a major terminal, having a berth in, say, the Port Authority on 40th Street. They manage to just pick up and drop off passengers on the curbs of the cities they're going to. Because they don't have to pay those licensing fees, they can charge customers a discount rate.
And a lot of them depart from and arrive at locations in Chinatown, in New York, as it happens. That's why they're called Chinatown buses. And it's pretty much a complete coincidence that the victims of the crash over the weekend were actually residents of Chinatown, right?
Yes, that's right. And this bus company is actually based out in Gowanus in Brooklyn. So it's a charter bus company. They do a lot of tours in the region.
How fast is the Chinatown bus industry growing?
Enormously. This business model traced back really to members of the Chinatown community who wanted a cheap ride back and forth from Boston and New York City. And then it extended to a lot of college students and younger folks who are seeking out a discount ride. But in the last, 6 or 7 years or so, it's really ballooned, so much so that the established bus companies like Greyhound and Peter Pan had to scramble to set up their own cheap discount services to compete because they were losing so much market share.
And how much cheaper are they?
Let's see. If you book a few months in advance, you can actually get a seat for $1 on one of these buses. So,
how do they make money on that?
I think that those are loss leaders, just trying to get people to book ahead of time and get people in those seats. But most of the time, you'll end up finding a fare for somewhere between $15 and $20.
Do they pay their drivers a lot less?
Well, it's not quite clear. I do think that many of the companies don't give benefits or health insurance to their drivers, and many of them are paid by the hour rather than salaried, whereas the larger operators, such as Greyhound, provide many more benefits for their drivers. And a lot of times at these companies, the drivers tend to be friends of the owner or family members. You find a lot of these companies are set up in a way where it's a lot of relatives who are driving the fleet back and forth every day.
The driver of the Worldwide Tours bus was Ofadel Williams. He hasn't been charged with a crime in this incident, at least not as yet, but he's being investigated. You wrote about his past criminal record. He's a convicted felon with grand larceny and manslaughter in his past. But how is his criminal record relevant to this case? Because actually, past felons are not prevented from getting these commercial driver's licenses, right?
No. In fact, what I found is that the federal regulation of this industry, and not just Chinatown buses, but passenger buses in general, is quite lax. And in terms of who gets a license, all you need is a state-issued commercial driver's license where there are very few restrictions on who can obtain one of those. A lot of these drivers have to pass a medical test and are expected to get occasional drug and alcohol testing. But the onus is really on the company to hold those tests. The company's liable for penalties if they don't happen. But the actual ground level effect of all this is that these bus companies can pretty much hire whoever they want to drive their buses.
I am wondering about the media focus on his past criminal record. Mm-hmm. Is it relevant?
Well, Certainly, someone who's paid their debt to society or after having a past criminal record is certainly free to be employed, and it's up to the employer's discretion whether or not they're hired or not. I think in the case of this driver, he had some incidents of reckless driving or issues pertaining to motor vehicle accidents, which arguably one could say would be relevant to whether he should be driving a passenger bus. But I will say that the federal regulations are silent on whether someone with past problems on their driver's license are allowed to get behind the wheel of one of these things.
That commercial license requirement, for those of us who only have regular driver's licenses, is that different from, say, what truck drivers need?
It's very similar, actually. It's very similar. I think that there's slight differences for driving a passenger bus, but it's actually they all fall under the same category. So I think if you have a license to drive a truck, say in New York State, you'd also be qualified to be a passenger bus driver.
And this is a consistent requirement. This commercial state level license for bus drivers, again, through the curbside bus industry and the old line bus companies?
Yes, exactly.
Now, the company in question, Worldwide Tours, which operated the bus that crashed in the Bronx, resulting in 15 deaths after another person died late yesterday, that company has had two accidents with injuries in the past couple of years. Is this any more than the national average for these kinds of buses or for the main bus companies like Greyhound? And can you say in general if the curbside or Chinatown buses tend to have more accidents?
In terms of Worldwide Travel, the specific company, the number of violations they had was slightly higher than average. They had been flagged by the federal regulator, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, as having troubles with driver fatigue violations, where logbooks showed that drivers had spent too many hours on the road. And they'd had, three crashes in the last 3 years, which was slightly higher than average for these companies, and had gotten them a flag from regulators, although it's not clear whether any officials came and inspected or did any additional examinations because of that.
We heard a stat from another reporter earlier that said almost 20% of all buses fail inspections, and I think those inspections would be roadside inspections where they kind of get pulled over or they're at a rest area, and then the officials look to see how many hours of driving the drivers have logged and whether that meets regulations. And that 20% industry-wide fail, which would be incredible if that's true, and that Worldwide apparently failed only 6% of the time. Do you know if either of those stats are true?
I can't confirm that, unfortunately. I haven't come across it in my own reporting. What I can say, though, is I called the United States Department of Transportation this morning, and I asked them about the difference between curbside carriers and old-line bus services in terms of their safety performance. And the response I got was that the safety performance is really no different. I was told that about 5 or 6 years ago, they felt there was a concerted effort to demonize these curbside companies, that a lot of the major old-line companies feeling business pressures went out of their way to publicize crashes and accidents that they experienced. In their own studies, the USDOT has found that there's really no major difference in terms of the safety performance of these discount line bus companies.
So in our last minute, do you think Senator Schumer and State Senator Squadron are just grandstanding here, or are there new regulations that would really be apt?
I would say that their focus I would say that in general the bus industry is very lightly regulated at the federal level, and I think the distinction between curbside carriers and some of the old line bus companies, that is something of a mirage. Even an old line bus company that has a larger fleet and a more established business, all the same regulations apply in terms of who can get behind the wheel, how often those inspections happen, and advocates have been calling for years. I mean, for instance, seat belts aren't required on any buses, curbside carrier or Greyhound, that you get out of Port Authority. So the same problems are popping up throughout the industry.
Or most school buses, but that's another show. Michael Grinbaum, transportation reporter for The New York Times, thank you so much.
Thanks so much.